And we come and say thank you. Thank you for life, health, and strength. Thank you for the privilege of seeing this day. You blessed us to see this day, and thank you for giving us the strength to live through this day. Bless our coming together. May in our coming together we come to worship and to praise you. Bless us now as we go forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Ushers, you may take your seat. Today, I'm going to ask a question in my message, and I'm going to answer the question in my message. The question that I'm going to ask is, what time is it? And I'm going to answer it, it's preaching time. There are various times in our lives that we come to and we don't realize that we're there. Believers are ordained or appointed to proclaim the salvation of God. Believers are ordained or appointed to proclaim the salvation of God. In this passage that we read, God had appointed Paul to be a preacher, an ambassador who was appointed by the king to go forth and to proclaim the message of the king. Minister is a preacher who is sent forth by God to preach the truth about God, to preach the truth about Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ is a mediator between God and man. That he has given himself as a ransom for all. We're talking about a preacher, an ambassador of Jesus the Christ. Ministers and other believers are given the highest title that there is in the world. Some people in America believe that the highest title is to be president of these United States of America. But I stand here to tell you today, if you are a believer and you are proclaiming the word of God, you have an office that's higher than that. Because you are speaking about the King of Kings. The word ambassador kind of went over my head for a long time until I think it was Andrew Young was ambassador to the United Nations for the United States of America. And I heard him say one time, I don't have an opinion about what I'm going to say. He said, because I do not represent myself, I represent the United States of America. Brothers and sisters, I stop by to tell you, if you are a believer, you don't have an opinion. Because you represent Jesus the Christ, the Son of the true and the living God. And if you don't get anything else, I say today, if you think the only preachers that God have in this house is the one that stand behind this rostrum, you are making a drastic mistake. All believers are ministers of God. Ministers and other believers are given the highest title. They are Christ's ambassador. The ambassadors are persons who are sent forth as official envoy to represent the sender and to announce the message of the sender. In the yesterdays when a king was coming, he would send a forerunner in front of him to make announcements weeks or months earlier than that the king is coming. So everybody could straighten up what they were doing. When they had kings and they had runners in front of them, he would go forth and send that message so they could clean up the streets. so the king's chariot will not have to roll on a dirty street. That's the ambassador that you are. You are to go forth and tell people about Jesus the Christ, the Son of the true and the living God. The ambassador is sent forth with the message of the sender. And as an ambassador, you are given the greatest message. And the greatest message is to be reconciled unto God. The message is so critical that you are to beseech men. You are to beg them. You are to entreat them. You are to cry and plead with them to be reconciled unto God. You got to tell somebody about this God that we serve. You cannot just be a believer on Sunday morning. Well, I can't say to 9:30 till 12 o'clock, but you got to be one 24/7. You can't just be one when you get ready. It's not at your convenience for you to be a believer. You got to be a believer all the time. If most of us were not believers just when everything was going okay, there would be very little time that we could be believers. You got to be one when you're hurting. When you got a headache and you got problems, you still got to be a believer. You have to be, because that's what will get you through it. You have to believe this, that you are an ambassador, and you are to go forth and do what the one that sent you, that what you are supposed to do. And please, ma'am, and please, sir, and please, ma'am, don't think that just because you do not have what men call a talent, that you are not to proclaim this gospel. The Greek word for preach means to stand up on the corner and holler real loud and proclaim whatever you're saying. Preach this word. Tell somebody about the saving power of Jesus Christ. Point number one, the need is urgent. The need is urgent. The crop of souls is ripe. They are ready to be harvested. Some want the gospel, the answer to life, and they are actually ready to be reaped, but nobody will tell them about this Jesus that we serve. I got mine. It's left up to you to get yours. No, you tell somebody about it. God have saved you, so he didn't save you for you just to be saved. He saved you for you to draw some interest on what he put in you. If you put $50,000 in the bank in 2014 and you go to draw it out in 2016, you want more than $2,000 in the bank, because you wanted to draw some interest. Well, that's why he saved you, for you to draw interest on it. You are to tell somebody else about this saving grace of Jesus the Christ. If you don't tell them, you're missing a great opportunity. Jesus is the answer to whatever is wrong. You must therefore pray for more laborers in the vineyard. He says somewhere in the Bible, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. You got to tell somebody to draw them into this. This is the laboring that we must do. Even on your job, when you don't realize that you are witnessing, you need to be witnessing to somebody, because you're doing exactly what you are supposed to do and you are not deterred away from it. If you're supposed to have a 15-minute break, don't take 16, take 15. If you do anything, take 14. Don't take more, because people are watching those of us that call ourselves believers. Amen, lights. You need to remember one thing, that God is the one who has sent forth laborers. If you are witnessing to somebody because somebody else told you to witness to them, you're making a mistake. God sent forth his witness. That's why we are witnessing today. You might not be aware of it, but just because you showed up, that's a witness to somebody. Because look around at all the empty seats that we have. We were prepared or expecting this many people. Now, that might seem weird to you, since you're here every Sunday, some of you here every Sunday, it seems like they always have, but we are expecting. And I can tell you how they can be full. I'm glad I wrote this down somewhere. that if one of us were to witness to one and convince that one, we'll have two. Then if those two of us go and witness, we'll have four. And if you keep going at that, or somewhere I read says in a generation, if that happened all the time, the whole world would be saved. That's God's plan. Yes, sir. God didn't save you just because you were so good and so righteous. He saved you so you could tell somebody else. And if he had to look at you to decide you were going to be saved in your life, he probably would not have saved you anyway, because you were a sinner and a wretch undone. I know you think you're holier than thou now, but you were a sinner. And you, because you received him, somebody prayed for you, and you received Christ as your Lord and Savior. Therefore, he brought you in. So you need to bring somebody else in. And I tell you what you can do, and then I'm going to get to point number two. Remember all of your buddies that you were with when you were out there. And think of them. You might miss one or two. If you miss one or two of them, some of the rest of us will pick them up on the way. Then you have somebody to witness to. You have somebody to witness to. Because there's somebody that's still enjoying sin. And you don't have to look too far. If not in the same bedroom, in the next one. If not in your house, in the house next door. So we have to make sure that we tell people about this God that we serve. It's urgent. It's not something that you can put off until tomorrow. Because it's urgent. It needs to be done today. Point number two. The world cannot be saved apart from the gospel. The world cannot call you to this. The world cannot believe this or hear this without a preacher. How can a person call on Christ if he have not believed in him? It is impossible. Even in dealing with secular purpose, a person has to really believe in a purpose before he will give his life to it. If you don't believe in something, you will not surrender to it, and you will not allow it to be everything that you think you need. Imagine giving all one is or has to a cause that you don't believe in. If you're serving Satan right now, you believe in that. You give everything you have for that. If you're serving God as your Lord and Savior, you give everything to that. And you believe in that. And you channel all your energies toward that. No person is going to do that unless they really believe in the something, the thing that they're giving it to. The same is true in dealing with God. No person is going to call upon the Lord to save him, nor is any person going to surrender and dedicate all he or she is or has to the Lord unless he truly believes in the Lord. You can play church. All you got to do, if you don't believe it, just on my TV, I think it's something where In the Heat of the Night come on. I forgot what channel it is, but it's In the Heat of the Night. They play church on there every now and then. And it looks good. It looks authentic. They're good actors. And you don't have to just watch In the Heat of the Night. You don't know you're watching it, but sometimes it happens in church. We play church. Because if you come in here today, And you know the things that you ought to be doing, and it's not coming from your heart, I don't care who you are. I don't care who your mama, your daddy, your grandmama. If it's not coming from your heart, you are playing church. And this is something that you have to sell out to. You have to forget about everything and everybody else. And you honestly say in your life, for Christ I live and for Christ I die. Yeah. If I have to deny this Christ, Hey, I just might as well be dead. Because if it had not been for him, I could not have gotten up this morning. If it would not have been for him, I could not be standing here right now. Because what he has done for me, he couldn't have done it for nobody else, because nobody else was in the same shape that I was in. He blessed me to be at this point in my life where I'll stand up and I'll boldly proclaim the word of God. I boldly proclaim, because Christ is my life. And when you surrender your life to him, he is all that matters. And if you got Christ, you got everything you need. Everybody else may be against you, but you got Christ. Nothing you have now will go with you. Nothing you do now will go with you unless you're doing it for God. You can do it and everybody else think it's all right, but it be against the will of God. You have to know that apart from the gospel, you cannot be saved. You need this gospel in your life. You cannot believe in this gospel unless you hear this gospel. And you cannot hear this gospel unless somebody that know about this gospel tell you about this gospel. You got to tell somebody. And I'm glad you asked. I heard you when you asked me. Here it is right here. You have to spend time in this word of God. You have to spend time in this word with God. You have to get this word, and you have to get there at a place where you get in your chair and you hunker up to the table just like you're going to eat. If you want to learn how to fast, I know this is not in my message, it's free. If you want to learn how to fast, you get in this word. You get in this word at about the same time when you're supposed to be eating. Now, if you're a wife and you got little children, you fix for your children and you let them eat. But if you get in this word will feed you. He calls it that sometimes. He said he's the bread of life. And whatever you need, he has. It's in this word. I tell the story, and I say it's a story, but it's true. Early 90s, I was at Crestview High School, and we had a racial fight. And there were about six or seven of my good buddies that was in school up there, high school, and they were seniors or something, and they got in a fight. I got in the mix of the fight, pulled them off the fight, and they was in there fighting. And the one that was on the bottom, I forgot whether he was black or white, he looked up and he saw me, and the one was on top of him. He said, "That's B got you." He said, "Oh." And he turned him loose, and he got up. I separated about six of them. I put one of them in an office, each one in an office, put them in an office. I went in my office. Closed my door, locked my door, turned my chair back to the door, and I turned to the wall. And I just constantly recited the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer. I stayed in there 15 or 20 minutes, and I walked into the first room. He said, "What I got, B?" I said, "You got 10 days. He said, "Okay." I walked to the next room. "What I got, B?" I said, "You got 10 days. I did that all around. I said, "You got 10 days. I walked in the principal's office. He said, "What you do to them?" I said, "I'm sending them all home for 10 days. And I said, "They're going to stay the 10 days. Called the county office and told them what I'd done. And Fred said, "You want them to stay 10 days? I said, "Yep." I said, "I want them to stay out 10 days. I suspended them, each one of them, for 10 days. When they came back, they said, "B, I sure thank you." And I see them today. I see him today, and one of them is a policeman, and he used to walk up behind me. He was a big old chunk. Walk up behind me and just grab me like this, and I just said, "Turn me loose," and he turned me loose. But my point in saying this is that they knew that they had messed up, and they knew that when they came in my office, they were going to get what they was just due because of what they had done. And today, when I see those young men, there is no anger. There's no anger. That's the way God have done all of those of us to save. Yes, sir. When we confessed our sin and admitted our wrong, he justly forgave us, and he sent us on the road. I saw one of those young men's daddy at graduation, and I had never seen him before. I was standing in the door then it was Southside Baptist Church. He walked up to me. He was about as big as his son. He said, "You got to be Mr. Baggett." I said, yes, sir. He said, I sure want to thank you. He said, because if it hadn't been for you, my son wouldn't have graduated. And I said, I suspended his son for 10 days in his senior year. And he's big enough to whip me right here in this church. But because of God, when you do what thus saith the Lord, God will bless what you're doing. And you have to know that and stand there. When you're walking with God, you have to know that if you're walking with this gospel in you, the gospel will take you where you need to go. You might not know where you're going, but if you're following the gospel, if you're living this life, then God will bless you. And you have to be preaching all the time. I know that seems like I run around the world to get to that. But my point is that you don't have to be standing behind a rostrum to preach this gospel. If Brother Derek playing that keyboard ain't preaching, if he's not coming from God, it doesn't make no difference how much you shout. God's not looking at you shouting. He's looking at him. And you got to be receiving it the way God is sending it. And your heart have to be right. Everything else about you can be right if your heart's not right. If your heart's not fixed with God, you're missing something. A little bit of anything with God is more than enough. And you can't get anything from God that's not right. Everything you get from God is going to be right. So if you get a little of this gospel at first, that's all it takes. All has to be the biggest oak tree there is in the world come from one little small acre. Yes. You have to receive this gospel. If you apart from the gospel, you cannot be saved. You have to receive this gospel. If you don't receive it, then you're missing it. And in hell, you'll wake up. And I stopped by to tell you that hell is real. This stuff that you catch in here that you call in hell, it's not hell. Hell is real in the Bible. Point number three. Here am I. Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. In this present context of the passage that was read, the word preacher means any believer who bears witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes a preacher to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ so that people can hear and believe and call upon him. But the preacher cannot preach unless he sent. If grandmama send you, if the church send you, if you send yourself, it won't work. You have to be sent by God. I'm glad you asked. I heard you. How can I know? Because you have been listening and you have been talking to him. And he fixes you so you can become a minister of his. And remember, I told you, you don't have to be somebody to stand here and be licensed and ordained to be a minister. A believer, all believers are ministers of Jesus Christ, because you need to be telling somebody about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. God is the one who sent forth preachers and witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is the one who commissions, qualifies, and instructs the preacher, believers of the gospel. John chapter 15, verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Listen, that whosoever shall ask of the Father in my name, that he may give it. If you call on the name of Jesus and you receive him as Lord and Savior and you're sent by him, all you have to do is tell them. That's why I stand here Sunday after Sunday and tell you this gospel. I don't try to make you grasp what I'm saying. My job is to tell you about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And then it's left up to you to make a decision, make a choice about who you're going to serve. You either making a decision, you're going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. Doesn't matter how good you've been, how well you treat people, it's how you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. People cannot like you, but if you're all right with God, that's all that matters. You got to trust in him, and when you trust in him, he will take you where he needs for you to go. You might not understand it. You might wonder why everything bad seemed to happen to me. Keep walking with God. Keep, what's the song? Order my steps in your word. If you walk with him and you're walking in his word, then God will provide and make a way. Listen, we had in Sunday school the other week or the month sometime, God's plan is perfect. There's nothing flawed in God's plan. You got to go through something. Jesus Christ, the day that he was born on this earth, he was on his way to Calvary, but yet he lived and did the will of God. In the book of John, so many times you'll find that he said, I do this to the glory of my Father. Everything, because he had received what his Father had given him. And his job was to tell us and show us the way. And this is what you must do. Here am I, Lord, send me. That's what Jesus said when he left heaven, came down to this earth. I can hear him say right now, Lord, send me. I'll go. I'll be their redeemer. And you got to understand there's somebody waiting on you to tell them about the saving grace. Could be the person that you think that don't listen to anything you say, but you tell them about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Here am I. Lord, send me. I know some of us say, well, Lord, if you send me, nobody will come. You just go. He said, go. He didn't say stay. He said, go ye into all the world and tell them about the saving grace. You got to go. He didn't say stay. He said, go. If he said stay, a lot of us would have been okay. But he said, go. He didn't say get it and stay there. He said, go and tell them about what I have done for you. Paul goes on to say, and it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings and good things. Paul is quoting from Isaiah 52 and 7, where Isaiah describes the beauty of the feet of the messenger coming with the good news. You do know that the word gospel is good news. That's why you don't need to read the newspaper to find out about the gospel. Because it doesn't have any good news. The good news is already been printed. It's right here. And when you read this good news about Jesus Christ, he will tell you everything that he's going to do for you. They were talking about the feet were beautiful because they were going into captivity. Isaiah was telling them about it. How beautiful are the feet of those that's coming. Jesus Christ coming to save you. And Isaiah was telling them about it. And they getting ready to go into captivity. Can you imagine what they probably thought? Isaiah, you got to be crazy. You stone crazy. Yesterday I thought you were crazy, but today I know you're crazy. You telling me about how beautiful. No, but he was telling them about the things to come. Christ, Jesus Christ, is the best thing that could ever happen to me. It's a message of Israel in Isaiah's day about the physical liberation was good news. How much more is the message of spiritual liberation and eternal life through Jesus Christ. Each believer is a messenger of Jesus Christ. Listen. Think about liberation. Think about being shackled up, not being free, not being able to do the things that you want to do. When you get in bed at night, you toss and turn all night because you have lived a life that was raggedy all over. Hadn't done right by anybody, not even yourself. That's being in prison. That's being shackled down. But when you submit your life to Jesus Christ, you put your head on the pillow at night. I do. I say, Lord, I thank you for a peaceful night's rest. Put my head on the pillow. My wife sometimes be talking. And I'll be asleep because that's it. I'm through with it because I put my life in God's hand. And somewhere he said, those whom I hold in my hand, the devil in hell can't pluck them from something. And I just got enough sense to believe that he's holding me in his hand. I know that whatever happens to me gets to me because he says it's okay. And sometimes I wonder about it in my flesh. But then again, in my spirit, I think about where he done brought me from. We forget about where God have brought us from. We just think of the now and the here and the now, and we know what condition we're in. If you let your mind go to the yesterdays of your life and you think of where God have brought you from, you in all the mess you're in, you'll still shout. You'll still say thank you, Lord, because you'd have brought me from a mighty long way. And then if you trust in him, God will provide just what you need. What time is it? It's preaching time. Everybody that's in this building today ought to go out preaching the gospel. And you don't have to take a text. You don't have to have an introduction, a body, and a conclusion. But you do have, because you tell somebody about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And when you tell them, don't try to make them believe what you're saying. You just tell them. And then later on, they're going to see you somewhere, and they're not going to have to wonder if you're living what you told them about. But you have told them what thus saith the Lord. You have to tell somebody about this saving grace. And then when you preach this word, you're telling them, you tell them two ways. You tell them verbally, and you tell them literally. And some people would rather see a sermon than hear one anyway. So therefore, your life needs to be a sermon that other people can see that you're living for Jesus Christ. And in my conclusion, if we could see God's full agenda in heaven, we would understand that he has someone in mind to take the good news to every person in the world, especially to those who are ready to receive and believe. Let me just stop right there. If you don't get anything else, get that point, that there's somebody ready and waiting on you to witness to them. And think of it just a little bit farther. Just in case, if you don't witness to them, when they die, they will go to hell. Yeah, I'm trying to put pressure on you today. Because if they die and nobody else was supposed to witness to them but you, and you don't, they'll lift their eyes up in hell. You need to make sure that you tell them about this saving grace of God. God's plan could win the world in one generation. The whole world could be won to Christ in 40 years. It's not God's plan that fail, but rather it's God's people that fail to perfect his plan. Regardless of the simplicity of the gospel and the nearness of all the lost people, there is a responsibility upon believers that must be accepted, or the gospel is powerless. The gospel has no power unless we give the gospel the power. We must tell others about it. Yes, the power is there. That light switch, when I walked in here this morning, these lights were off. But the power was there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That you're going to walk around somebody today that need to hear this gospel. And they're just waiting on you to flip the switch. You flip the switch by you telling them about the saving grace of God. Everyone who hears the gospel, is held accountable by God to receive or reject Christ as Savior. Everybody that hears the gospel is responsible for accepting it or rejecting it. Can't anybody else do it for you? That's why you have to preach. I told you the other week, somewhere that people that come to Christ are witnessed to at least 6 or 7 different times by different people. So you need to make sure that you witness to somebody so they'll be closer to coming to God. Just because you witness to them and they don't come, don't let that bother you. Your witness will bring them closer to receiving God. Ministers are ordained or appointed to proclaim the salvation of God. I keep saying that point because it's important. And I'm not talking about a man's appointment or ordination. I'm talking about God. I'm talking about God's appointed. That's why there are a lot of ministers of God, people that are winning other people to Christ, that are not standing up doing what we call preaching, but they are preaching. I told you, it's proclaiming the word of God, telling somebody about the word of God. And you don't have to always talk. You can sing and tell them about the word of God. Any way you can get the word of God to them, you need to get it to them, because they need to receive this word of God. Give it to somebody. Love is not love unless it's given away. If you give it away and it's supposed to be yours, it'll come back to you. Somebody else will witness to you. Let me ask you a question, and you don't have to answer this. Since you've been saved, have anybody come up to witness to you about being saved? Don't answer me. And you stopped them from witnessing to you, told them you were already saved? I don't tell them. I let them witness to me, because it's encouraging them to keep doing it. And after they finish, I tell them thank you. And I tell them where I go to church. And I tell them I'm a believer, but I'm sure glad you thought enough of me to witness to me. You have to keep encouraging people so they'll keep telling them. And all some people don't witness to other people because they are scared. They're scared they're going to reject them. If you turn me down, it's not me you turning down, because I'm telling you about Jesus Christ. You remember I told you an ambassador is one that is sent, and if you reject me, you reject the one that sent me. So don't be afraid. I guess what I'm trying to do today is to encourage you during this Yuletide season to use Yuletide season for more than just giving and receiving gifts. Give a gift that will last all eternity. Tell someone about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And when you tell them with the authority of Jesus Christ. Don't act as if you don't believe what you're saying. You believe it. Tell them that you believe it. That's why. And this is off the message, but it's good right here. That's why con men, their scheme work. They convincingly tell you what they are trying to get out of you, and you believe them. So why not use that same authority to tell them about Jesus Christ? Tell them. And the reason some of us can't tell it, we don't really think we believe what we think we believe. We believe it on Sunday morning when we get in church. And then if the right person's not playing or the right person's not singing, I don't believe then. But I said this before, and it does, I love to hear this choir sing. If they don't sing, I don't care. And they ought not to care if I don't preach. Because you're not doing it for the people. You're doing it to Christ. I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to God. You are receiving it if you're on the same wavelength with God. But if you don't receive it, that's between you and God. You have to tell them. And this is what all believers and preachers and ministers are supposed to do. Believers, Christians, people that are like Christ need to tell people. Y'all have to excuse me. This is preaching this gospel is all that you need to do. And you preach it without talking. You preach it with the life that you live. If you can't live it, you'll do a poor job of talking it. You can live it and not be able to talk it. But if you talk about it, you ought to be able to live it. And I think that's why some people don't talk about it, don't try to teach about it, because somewhere in there said those that teach must be able to live the way they're talking. And if you know it and you still do wrong, you have my sympathy, because you're going to get whipped. When you know to do right and to do wrong, it is a sin. If a sinner, a person that don't know something is wrong and they do it, you go and you know it's right and you do it, you're going to be whooped with more stripes. You need to stay with God because you are an ambassador of God. And an ambassador, you are sent, you are not your own. You're going because of the person that sent you.
What time is it? It's preaching time. I'm looking at a lot of preachers. When you leave here, you ought to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man. And he's the mediator because he has given himself as a ransom for all. But all might not receive, but it's given to them. And they had a choice, just like you have a choice, to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Will you stand? And if you are not, if you